crime prevention expert, retired Fairfield Police Lieutenant Jim Perez, with Crime on the Mind. Exclusively on Melissa in the Morning, WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
We are entering into Passover tonight at sundown, and it will continue until sundown next Tuesday, April 30th. And it's no secret, right? Throughout, I would say, this year, and certainly since October especially, we've really seen a lot of unrest here and across the country, and especially after what happened between Hamas and Israel. There has really been a lot of protests in what's gone on with Gaza and the people of Gaza. There have been a lot of pro-Palestinian protests, again, in Connecticut, across the country. And certainly, I think the big thing here is not whether or not you agree with the protesters, not so much if you agree with the war. But I think it is interesting that we as a nation can't agree on the entity responsible. So why I'm bringing this up during Crime on the Mind, we have seen certainly for years and years and years in our history, but most recently since this war erupted in October of 2023, we have seen a lot of backlash against Jewish communities. And it's happening here in Connecticut. In fact, I just came across a video that was on Yale University's campus right here in our state. And you can see that there are students who are surrounding and intimidating a single man of Jewish descent and just harassing this person because they are against Hamas, obviously. And it's in the midst of a pro-Palestinian protest that's going on college campuses. And we've even heard about Columbia University asking, kind of demanding students who are Jewish to leave campus during Passover because of their own safety concerns, when it's sort of enabling that these kids are being bullied and are being discriminated against because they're Jewish. So why are we talking about this in Crime on the Mind? Well, because I want to talk about how people can feel safe in general. How can you feel safe going to any place of worship? Certainly we're focused on synagogues right now, but it could be anywhere. And how do you handle protests that start to get a little out of hand? Jim Perez is here, who's our crime prevention expert on the show. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Good. How are you? Good morning.
I'm good. This is a tricky one, Jim, because, again, I'm not trying to poke the bear. I'm not trying to start a political discussion here. I'm not asking which side is right or wrong, but I am absolutely vocalizing that it is wrong for people to be going after a religious group, which we have seen in our history too many times before, and for people to be bullied, for people to not feel safe when they want to practice their own religion. And so I would love from you to get some advice, equip people with feeling safer when they want to go to houses of worship, and especially if they come across protests, which we are expecting to see more of them throughout this Passover holiday in the next week.
Right. Well, first of all, I think that every citizen deserves the opportunity to be to feel safe and to be able to practice their religion. You know, just like you have senior citizens that live in town that contribute, that literally have no children to go to school, yet they pay the same amount of taxes as everybody else. Every Jewish American who is in this area pays taxes and deserves to be protected. And if the organization cannot afford it or they can't do it, then it's up to the local police departments to be able to provide someone to them for security. And you know what? Maybe we need to start utilizing state grants or federal grants to be able to pay for these, because I know that the police departments can't afford it either. But we are talking about taxpayer dollars. And so, you know, I think they deserve to be as safe as possible. That's number one. Number two, people need to understand exactly what crowd psychology is, which is a thing. You know, when you have a crowd that gets together, and this is going to be, you know, this is going to take too long to kind of get into, but there's a thing called crowd psychology, and that's where you de-individualize someone, and they lose their self-awareness in a gathering when they're chanting or protesting something. if we can understand what crowd psychology is, then we can help. Every police department can help to actually reduce it. So in other words, critical crowd density, which is something that people in SEPTA look at, you know, it's basically when the floor space per person who is standing is reduced to about 5.38 square feet per person. So let's just look at it this way. If you take five people and you put them in a 3-square-foot area, 3 by 3 by 3 by 3, mm-hmm. They're going to start to get agitated. They're going to start to
get on each other's nerves. And sure.
That's right. That's right. And so by understanding critical crowd density and reducing it, you can prevent some of this craze or panic that takes place during protesting, because protesting is one thing. But when you start joining in as one and you have a leader who's advocating either violence or anything like that, now you start to get into a real big problem. And so
do you believe, Jim, and again, I know you can't speak for the colleges, but like, again, Columbia University, I do find it very surprising. I would imagine that is a big reason why they've asked Jewish students to leave campus during Passover is, you know, for a factor like that. I would imagine it's out of safety. It's not because they're taking sides. I don't know if you feel the same way.
Well, listen, I was asked on March 20th, I was asked of this year to speak at Columbia University regarding crowd density.
Really?
I couldn't make it. One of the companies that I work for that, you know, that utilized me for these things, they had reached out to me, but I couldn't make that date. But they sent someone. The thing I'm trying to get to is that Columbia University, in their defense, as much as, you know, they can be very crazy, but in their defense, they did hire professionals to come speak to their security personnel regarding issues that were coming up, like protesters and protesting and things like that. Mm-hmm. I regret that I couldn't be there to make my presentation on critical crowd density. But, you know, maybe some other time. But the bottom line is this. I think that you need to instruct people. I'm sorry, Melissa, what was your question again? I forgot.
I kind of got you off topic. You were in the midst of talking about, so, you know, when you've already identified crowd density and all of that, how police then actively handle situations like protests. And then I interrupted you asking if you felt like that was why Columbia did what you did. So you answered that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
On with, like, sort of how do people then handle protests if they come across them?
Sure. So NYPD was called in when the protests got out of hand. The problem is that the one thing Columbia did not do is they didn't utilize their security staff appropriately to be able to dispense of or manage this crowd. Mm. And so there's a way that you can manage them by not letting them gather. Like I said, if you start putting people together, you know, the max is five people within a 3-square-foot meter. I mean, a 3-square-foot area, or 1 meter by 1 meter by 1 meter. So if you can picture like a square, and you have, and each square is 3 feet by 3 feet, and you have one person in each one of them, that's okay. But when you start putting 1.5 people per square meter, that's when you start getting into trouble.
Right. When you're in each other's space, that's when it gets to be that trouble rises. So we have Jim Perez here, who is our crime prevention expert, and we're talking about feeling safe when we go to places of worship or when we come across a protest. And so, Jim, what would be your advice to people? Let's start with places of worship. How can people go in with crime prevention at top of mind, where they can enjoy the service, but also be, you know, alerted, be aware of their surroundings? What do you suggest?
Well, first and foremost, the first thing they should do is every place of worship should have a voluntary security team. So these are individuals that can take quick little classes on security, that can actually be eyes and ears for all the rest of the worshipers inside. So it starts by having someone at the door, you have someone in the parking lot, and you have someone near the street. And what you do is you give them walkie-talkies or radios so they can communicate with each other. And if you see anything that's out of the ordinary or not normal or unusual, it's important for that person to be able to warn those inside so that the masses can be on a lockdown until the police get there. So that's the first thing. A lot of places will hire police. You know, it's a little costly, but it's well worth it because you're getting a uniform presence. Study after study after study have shown that when you see a police car or a police officer present it basically diminishes the ability of someone wanting to do harm because they look for easy targets. This is why New York City always has police cars with no one in it in certain strategic points, because it's a very effective strategy in being able to almost like mind mess around with the.
It's like a deterrent. Sure. That makes sense. Absolutely.
That's right.
Okay. That's
the second thing is everyone, all the worshipers need to be involved in understanding what not normal is and then understanding about how to report it. And they should be familiar with such things like situational awareness, which is basically having a 360 radar all the way around you at all times. And more importantly, being the eyes and ears for police and being able to tell when something is off so that they can report it. But that's really for houses of worship. That's the way to do it. I know it's a public building, just like, you know, every other public building, and it's very challenging to try to risk mitigate or to do some type of security work, but it can be done. But it has to start with the synagogue or the church. It has to start there, where they start to you know, prepare and plan for the inevitability.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Jim Perez, what would you suggest? Because whether you walk into a place of worship or not, it seems like protests are happening everywhere. And right now, of course, we're focusing on what's going on between Israel and Hamas, and now a lot of protests having to do with Gaza. But I mean, it could be anything. How you know, it's just some general advice for people handling protests that seem to be, you know, getting out of hand or very emotionally charged.
Listen, at three square feet per person, involuntary contact and brushing starts to happen. So the bottom line is, if you start getting a crowd of people that you deem to be too many people in one little area, you can ask them to start breaking up. You can ask them if they can move to another side, or you can utilize the police to help them do that if they're on a public sidewalk. The police can divide them so that they don't become a danger to traffic on the street or traffic on the sidewalk. The other thing is, police departments need to, just like NYPD finally did, of course they were asked to do this by Columbia University, but the police can be proactive and actually have plenty of police personnel, especially if there's a special event or there's a reported protesting group or something. You can have the police go out there and set rules. We do it during strikes, where we go out there and we meet with the strike leaders and we set boundaries and rules, and it usually works. And you can do the same thing with gatherings. I know it's not going to be as professional as when you're dealing with a union strike, but it's kind of the same thing. You know, you can go there and you can make you know, rules and policies and procedures ahead of time. And if they break those, it's important that the police department get enough help so that we can actually go in there and remove them and arrest them if need be as well. But no one, and here's the other thing too, when you start, and I'll say it, when you start saying things like "we are Hamas," which to me is disgusting, because if you remember the events that happened on October 7th, then you know how horrific that was. These are misinformed, delusional people who have been poisoned to go against the masses. And this is what this is. And I think that we have a right as a community to not only stick up for ourselves, but to enforce what we deem to be violent or threatening or intimidating behavior. There are laws on the books in Connecticut, and we need to actually enforce them in order to prevent this stupidness from happening.
Well, we always appreciate getting, obviously, just we love getting the advice, but also even from the law enforcement aspect of things, Jim Perez, I really appreciate that you can weigh in on these conversations, because I know it's something that a lot of people in our listening area are focused on. And so I want to thank you for talking about this morning, and we certainly will see what happens next. We'll see. It's certainly not over.
That's great. Yep. Nope. Yeah. We'll talk again.
All right. Sounds good. And again, Jim Perez, our crime prevention expert, right here on WICC and Crime on the Mind. I'm Melissa in the Morning.